V-minus 33. Moore Residence, Archway, Colorado. Clark reached the small neighborhood of Archway within 10 minutes of leaving Birchwood, and he hoped beyond hope that his stay would be even shorter. He was here for one reason, to get in touch with Jason Moore as a means of finding Tara. With Phil Norris set to hang back in his own car at a distance of around 100 feet when he arrived, Clark parked right outside Jason's parents' house and walked up the short path to their door. He didn't like the fact that he was having to do this, but he shook away his doubts and played the only card he'd been dealt. Clark McCarthy! A 60-something man beamed from the doorway. His hair was white rather than gray, but his skin and posture aged him safely under 70 in Clark's eyes. Honey, it's Clark McCarthy! Within seconds, Mr. Moore was joined by his wife. And although she also smiled instinctively at the up-close and personal sight of a figure as well-known and well-liked as Clark, her happiness faded very quickly. Is something wrong? Something with Jason? She asked. The first thought in Clark's mind was that he wished he shared Dan's advantage of having Emma's voice rattling around, feeding him the right lines. Lacking in such a gift, he kept it simple. Probably not, but I am trying to reach him. Trouble is, his contact information is harder to find than answers about these damn triangles. Clark's jovial tone, which took no small effort to maintain, appeared to ease Mrs. Moore's mind slightly despite his implication that something might be wrong. That had been his intention, to make her think he wouldn't be wisecracking with one-liners if he was majorly concerned about something. He changes his number pretty often, she explained. Things have been okay lately, but in the past few weeks he's had a lot of problems with debts and with hangers-on looking for handouts. Have you tried reaching him through Tara? Now that was some nice news, wasn't it? Those two. I think Tara's busy, Clark said, not entirely sure why he felt driven to avoid the truth at this stage, but convinced it was the smart move. The only thing I'm worried about is that Jason might be involved with some of the bad types you're talking about, Mrs. Moore. Partly for his sake and partly for Tara's, I need to see him as soon as possible to ask him about some individuals I have reason to believe he's been associating with. He's not in any kind of trouble. Yet. And an intervention is the only way we can make sure he stays out of trouble. If he is in with the crowd I'm worried about and we don't manage to reach him, things could get very bad as early as this afternoon. There's only so much I can say, but it really is important that I see him. Mr. Moore sighed ruefully. That boy. Clark didn't care about lying in any ethical or personal sense, but it did cross his mind that he could get into serious trouble for implying that he, and by extension the police force, were worried about Jason. In the context of his immediate and genuine concern about Tara's well-being, though, this particular worry faded as quickly as it had shown up. You see, Clark went on, I'm a friend in this, but I'm also a cop, so if it's not too much to ask, it would really help me out if you could call him here without saying it's to see me. Is that okay? I can hang out in my car until he arrives, or I'd be delighted to come in and wait with you, but I can't stress how important it is that Jason doesn't know I'm here. If he does, he won't come. Think of a good reason for him to hurry over here. And I mean hurry over here, and this'll end well. I wish I could say I would be confident of a good ending if you can't get him to come here, but unfortunately, I can't. Oh, I'll get him, Mr. Moore insisted, setting off into the kitchen to pick up his phone. He then called to invite Clark inside and walked out back with the phone in his hand, his wife following close behind. Clark, anxious and impatient, but at least feeling like he was getting somewhere, looked around the Moore's living room at the old family photos that adorned most of the walls and surfaces. His phone then buzzed very abruptly, alerting him to a message from Phil and sending his heart rate soaring. Reading the message neither further raised nor lowered his pulse. No phone, no signs of anything else, on my way to you. Promptly, Jason's parents returned to the room. They brought with them the better news that he was on his way and he would be there in 3 or 4 minutes. Geez, he lives close, Clark mused. He had a leverage-related reason for not having simply asked for Jason's home address, one that he hoped to be able to keep up his sleeve. But it was there if he needed it, in the worst-case scenario that Jason proved uncooperative with Clark's search for Tara, whether through choice or, more likely in Clark's eyes, due to external coercion. Clark made sure to stand out of sight of the front door for the next few minutes so that Jason wouldn't see him until the door was closed, and more than anything he had ever hoped for in his life, he hoped that Tara would arrive at Jason's side. Almost inevitably, she didn't. "You look like hell," Mrs. Moore sighed solemnly as her son stepped inside. She wasn't wrong. The bags under his eyes looked like those of a man for whom sleep was a mere memory, and the ghostly pale skin looked like it belonged to someone else rather than the bronzed actor Clark remembered. As Clark stepped forward, Jason's expression froze. He didn't reach for the door, but his body inched towards it. "Clark is right," Mr. Moore said. "Something's going on, isn't it?" Clark strode over with six quick, huge steps, unsubtly positioning himself between Jason and the door. "You're not getting away that easily," he said, disguising it as a lighthearted comment. "Clark McCarthy, as I live and breathe," Jason said, his forced smile fooling his parents, but certainly not Clark. "Nice to meet you," Clark replied, shaking Jason's hand in a way that looked friendly enough, but quietly compressed metacarpals with alarming ease. Jason winced. "Some things I've heard through the grapevine have me a little worried about some people you might be mixed up with, especially because we have a mutual friend," Clark went on, patting Jason on the back so hard that it almost knocked him down. "You know, Tara Ford?" The look in Jason's eyes as Clark said the name was the last one he had hoped to see, primarily fear, but with a strong tinge of guilt. It took everything Clark had not to explode, but he fell back on his training and tried to keep his head in the game. Jason was the only person who could give him answers, and certain instinctive reactions would greatly reduce the chances of him doing so. Alas, the leverage was about to come into play. The familial ace up Clark's sleeve, which he had dearly wished would stay there, was sadly becoming necessary. "But anyway, Jason, we all want what's best for you, and that's why I've got your parents involved today. That's why you really don't want to do anything stupid, like turn around and run away," Clark said. He stared a hole in the former TV star's tired, bloodshot eyes, gesturing towards Mr. and Mrs. Moore as they stood uneasily beside their couch. "It's not just me who wants to help. I care so much I even got your parents involved. See, Jason? I've got your parents."